Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Acts.
I was going down, thought it was for the count. Then I found your love. I had wandered off, thought I had gone too far. There I found your love. Fear I used to know can't stop me anymore, 'cause I found your love.
Welcome to this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. This is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed once again looking into the book of Acts. Those of you that have your coffee and you're sitting and you're listening to this, getting ready to study the Bible with us just before you go to your own church, We're happy to have you listening.
We are, and it's an exciting day today. It's Easter Sunday. It's Resurrection Day, so we're excited about that.
It is. We're picking this up where we left off, Acts chapter 5. We know that in verse number 11, it says, "Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events, Ananias and Sapphira, lying to the Holy Spirit, both dropping dead in the middle of the service." Really exciting.
That'll bring people to church right there. You know, you come into church, you say a few words, and boom, you're dropping dead. It's like, oh no.
You know, Easter is a wonderful time of the year. We celebrate, and there's going to be great worship all around the world today because of Easter Sunday. But this is the kind of excitement that actually is, I think, a reminder of the wrath and the awe of God and how powerful He really is. Because here, fear, this is I think this is like a holy fear.
Yeah.
It's an awesome fear, not the kind that where you need 9 locks on your door.
Yeah.
It's just the kind that you recognize that there is a God.
There's a wonderful line through Scripture where it talks about the fear of the Lord and how important it is for a person and a people and a nation to have the fear of the Lord. And
there's not much of that around today.
You know, there's really not. I mean, the kind of the mindset toward God is, you know, we've had enough of Him. Let's move on to something that adults can think about now or talk about now. But in reality, He is the one who is in control, and one day we will all stand before Him and give an account.
Yeah, and I think without a healthy fear of God, we find out that the world begins to work in an ungodly fashion, and we see people doing things that perhaps they wouldn't do if they really had the fear of God in their life.
Most definitely.
Yeah, it's just, you need a proper fear of a holy God, and God is holy. And I know people want God being a God of love, but He also is a God of wrath.
Yeah.
And the fear of the Lord is one of the essential elements. In the New Testament, we find that they had this kind of faith and awe. And we don't see some of that today because they're trying to take God out of everything. And you would think that they might learn that that doesn't work.
It really doesn't. And like you said, there's God is so much more than love. There's so many facets to God. He's holy. He's righteous. He is tender and compassionate and loving. I'm actually teaching a Sunday school class on it. On the title of it is God Is, because we all think about God is love.
Yeah.
But there's hundreds of other verses that also have a word after that is part. God is thus. And so it's very important for us to understand the full person of who God is and how He relates to His people.
But generally speaking, we want the God that we want.
Exactly.
We choose our own God.
Yeah.
Rather than actually taking a look and seeing what God's manifests Himself like and what He's like, we like to say, this is my little God. I like Him like this.
And I'm going to adjust my lifestyle to my philosophy of
my
God.
My philosophy.
Yeah.
So many people are like that today that they don't want to have a true, I'm going to try to look for the right word, absolute, true absolute fact. They want something that is manageable to their understanding.
Yeah.
Rather than some adjusting themselves to what the truth is, they just kind of twist it around a little.
You know, we just celebrated the 500 years of the Reformation, I think, back in the fall of last year. And obviously, the church has, some people in the church have done a lot of stuff in the name of God and of Jesus that I'm sure God just shook His head at going, no, I didn't tell you to do that.
Yeah.
And so the Reformation happened. But also around that time, it's like you said, there was an enlightenment, if you will, that came. And I think people were just so sick of the corruption that was in the church, which isn't the church that Jesus had planned. And there was always a remnant that followed after Him and loved Him. But I think the result of that was this mindset that we see so prevalent today, that either I don't want anything to do with God, atheist, agnostic, to I'm going to make God out to be what I want Him to be. And there is no your truth is not my truth.
Right.
Your right is not my right. You can't tell me that this is right or this is wrong. And so but we see the result of that in society. If you play it out to the end, like you said, it is going to be not just ungodly, but I think anarchy and pain and suffering, you know, because we have taken God out of the picture.
Yeah, it's hard to have a unified country or a unified people when there are so many different roads people are traveling on.
Yeah.
And that's what happens when you don't have a roadmap that you can follow. You
exactly.
just go wherever you feel like you should go. And there's a lot of people in our country that are trying to draw people down a certain road. And Jesus talked about that one time about the, well, you can go down this road. It's wide. It's easy to go yeah. down, but not so good. There are absolute truths that you cannot bend.
And I think we know that. I think
I'd
people,
like to believe we know it.
I think people understand innately in some realities of truths that there are some truths. And regardless of whether people have heard about God or Jesus in particular, I mean, you go to nations that have never heard about God and they worship a God. They do have a sense of right and wrong. And there is a truth that can be found within us, that I think God placed within us, and then we find the truth in the Word of God, which I believe is the truth, but people just don't want to accept it as that.
Yeah, I think we're being inundated with a humanistic worldview where humans yeah. are the key. We are our own gods, and so therefore right. we can make our own decisions and know what is right and what is wrong rather yeah. than looking somewhere else. It's a humanistic view. And they faced it back then because the Romans kind of had that idea. They had a Caesar, and they yeah. followed him, and so they faced these kinds of things. But as we look, as we read now in the Scriptures, and those of you, again, that have your Bibles with you, we're in chapter 5, verse number 12. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. So we find that even though there was this miracle that took place where Ananias and Sapphira, they lied to the Holy Spirit, and they were slapped dead, if you will, there were still many, many miracles that are performed, signs yeah. and wonders, they call them, among the people. So there was the miraculous working among the people, and that miraculous working of the Holy Spirit brought a unity to the believers, and they came together and they met together.
I think it's a beautiful portrait of the early church. Like you said, God actively involved in the lives of his people, and he still wants to do that today. Signs and wonders still follow those who believe. And we just need, I think, in each of our own lives, let's believe more in God so
believe
we can
more.
See more miracles.
Yeah. And the next verse is really, I don't think we like this next verse. He says in verse 13, chapter 5, no one else dared to join them.
Wow.
When you think about that, we always want people to join. We want people to come in. We want people to come into the church. We don't care. Just come on. We want more people, more yeah. people. Join, 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 join. And here it said, no one dared to join yeah. them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. So they looked at the church as something that was to be lifted up because Jesus was lifted up and there yeah. were miracles that took place. But people were afraid, if you will, to join them. And that's a healthy fear of God because
yeah.
you don't want to walk into the presence of God. And I think some people don't want to walk into certain churches because they may feel uncomfortable because
yeah.
they're confronted with the presence of the Lord. And so there is a fear to join them. And I think sometimes we have people that are afraid to go to church.
There definitely are. They're nervous. They're uncomfortable.
Nervous, sure.
You know, coming into church going, hey, I think the roof's going to cave in if I go into that building. You know, I've heard guys
before.
Say that. You know,
I've heard that before.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that was my uncle's favorite line.
Yeah.
Yeah, so here, they don't dare to join them. And that's something we don't think about much today.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're more worried about offending people
right.
so that they're not going to join us.
Yeah.
And here, they were not worried about offending anybody. They just let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit wanted to do. And then just not going to be concerned about who's going to join us.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there are churches that have done things that have made it so
yeah.
seeker-sensitive, seeker-friendly.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with people who are seeking
no.
to get. But like we were talking about, we're going to preach the truth. We're going to declare the
right.
truth. And it is going to make a lot of people uncomfortable. And
yeah.
and they may not want to join us because they may not necessarily agree with what's being said.
In verse 14 kind of says, nevertheless, even though people didn't dare join them, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. So it kind of tells you that if you take the truth and you water it down and you destroy the truth,
yeah.
people aren't going to want to be part of it.
Right.
people really are still looking for the truth.
Right.
And this is what the scriptures really are helping them to understand, because there were people who were added to their number,
right,
even though they were kind of a little scared because maybe they haven't done things this way before.
They were nervous to join. But then once they got in and they listened, something happened. The Holy Spirit touched their heart, and then they started believing.
And so it says, as a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. This is truly a miraculous event. We don't see this happening at all that I've ever seen it. I mean, even when you go overseas in some of the poor countries, this generally, you don't see this happening.
Yeah.
But here, the power of God was so present at that time that even a shadow from Peter, not even a touch from Peter, just his shadow, they put people so that when Peter walked by, his shadow would fall on them. Now, I can't imagine what this did for Peter, because it would be overwhelming, even though Peter says, don't worship me, I'm not God.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, this has to do something to the individual. And here, Peter, his shadow was healing people. I can't even fathom that.
I can't either. You know, we don't read about this happening with anybody else in Scripture.
No,
it didn't happen with Jesus.
He walked on water. I mean, he did some weird things.
He did some incredible things. But here's, you know, people that are so enthralled by what's going on, and there must have been some great, miracles. And
great
Jesus said, listen, because you believe in me and because I go to the Father, you're going to do what I've been doing and even greater things. So here's one of those greater things, I believe, that Jesus said was going to happen when, you know, he would send them out. And so here's Peter going out, and here's this shadow. How exciting that must have been at that moment. If you were the sick person and Peter's shadow just went over you.
And you were healed. Yeah, you get excited about that.
But I agree with you. I wonder, because Scripture doesn't record for us how Peter responded to that. And Peter was a pretty interesting character.
He was.
You know, so it would be interesting to know what he thought of all of this.
Yeah. But in some sense, the idea is that wherever we go, our life does have a shadow.
Yeah.
Wherever we go, it's simply because there is, except in heaven, there's no shadows in heaven because the light is everywhere.
Yeah.
But here we have a shadow. And the idea is that our influence falls on people and touches their lives. And maybe it may not be a miraculous healing, but it could be an emotional lift. It could be a drawing someone to the truth. And just by our presence and our shadow that passes by them, we need to recognize, I think, that happens even though we may not see it. You know, maybe even Peter didn't recognize this. He just walked along, maybe never even saw it.
He may have not even known this was happening.
No, and it's written here, but nevertheless, he might not even have known it at the time. People later said, hey, you know what happened?
Yeah.
You walked by, and I was touched.
Yeah.
God healed me. And how many times have people said, well, something that you said to me or something that you did, it touched my life. And so there's some degree to this here, even though this is truly a miraculous statement.
You know, I was talking to somebody, and a Christian person had been to see them and did not leave the greatest impression on this particular person.
Mm-hmm.
But here, Peter, like you said, I love what you said, that just our presence, hopefully, if when we come in contact with other people, that it would leave a positive impression on them. And when they think about us, when they reflect the shadow, when they reflect on us, hey, that was a positive experience.
Right.
So,
I noticed that. Now, I went and had my haircut just before we did this radio program, and so I had a haircut there. And it's a guy's kind of place, and there's three barbers in there, three guys.
Yeah.
And I noticed that when I go in, they know who I am now. When I didn't know who I was, they would often tell off colored stuff.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Now when I go in, no, they're talking about Easter, they're talking about Jesus.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, they're talking about different things.
Your shadow.
That shadow.
Has left a mark.
Yeah, maybe my hair. I left my hair on the floor.
You left your hair on the floor.
But see, the idea is that somewhere in our life, they can sense the presence of the Lord. Here, it was the sunlight from the shadow. The sun it was hitting Peter, and the shadow came through and it touched lives. Mm-hmm. And so the sun in our life begins to minister to people around us.
That's beautiful.
And crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. That's what I really want to see happen, that people from all around gather and they bring their sick into the church, and those people who are tormented by evil spirits, they're all healed, whether they're sick or whether it's an evil spirit.
Right.
And I'm telling you, there are some evil spirits that are attacking people today.
There is. And we definitely believe in the power of God that's available to set people free and to heal their physical ailments.
Yes. And so that's a day I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
I'm not so concerned about the sun and the shadow, but I would like to see people bringing their sick, bringing the tormented to the church, because that's where the healing takes place.
Yep.
Sometimes we take the sick and the tormented and we put them in shelters, we put them in special places for them, you know. They really need deliverance, they need to be set free, and we're putting them in place and we medicate them.
Yeah.
Load them with medicine so that they're not a problem when they really need to be delivered.
Amen.
And so that's what I'm looking for. And I think that's going to happen in the end of days. I think God's going to do something. And see, this is what we're seeing here. When we read this particular portions of Scripture that we looked at, not very many Scriptures here, but what we find was the presence of the Lord was so powerful that fear gripped. There was an awesome fear that gripped the people.
Yeah.
They were concerned that if they were not living holy lives, if they weren't doing things godly ways, that, you know, something could happen to them, like Ananias and Sapphira. And so there were many miracles that were being done. Why? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and wisdom brings people to God, and it causes them to receive from God, and they worship and they praise, and all of a sudden the miraculous work of heaven is done on the earth, and that's what we see happening here.
And you've done a great series over the past several Sundays about worshiping and about us connecting to God in that fear, in that relationship with God through our worship. And once we start connecting to God, that's going to flow out through our life as well.
And the only missing part, I think, sometimes is in the church is it says here that the crowds, they brought the sick in.
Yeah.
They brought the tormented in. They themselves did the witnessing, and they actually brought people in. Sometimes we get in the church, we say, I'm okay, my family's okay, I'm fine. But see, the gospel is meant, we're meant to go out and witness. Bring them in. So bring them in this Easter.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, Pastor Tim and Pastor Adam say, God bless you. Have a great day.